Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy.
Hey, this is Belle Lockerbie, and on this episode with Your Daily Pass, we've actually talked about words. That's right, how you can catch them, challenge them, and choose what to do with them so that you can have a year of being brave or anything else you want to.
Alrighty-o, Courtney. Be excited.
Yeah.
We love learning about words.
Yes.
And how words affect us.
Yes.
And how we should all learn.
Well, the thing about it is how we should all learn. Jeez, Fiona, that's really brief.
If you were wrong, you were wrong.
It is one of those things, Fiona. We talk about this quite often in the podcast, and, you know, so when we get our beautiful guests in, we always have a questionnaire that they fill out.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's certain times where you just get really excited about how they've answered it, and the things that Belle has written, we're like, oh, yeah. Like everything, we're just like, yeah, we are here for it, we're living for it, so we're a bit excited.
We are very, very excited. Belle Lockerbie, she's written a couple of books.
I know. Fancy. We are in the presence.
Of an author.
Of an author. Very fancy.
But she's good. She's a normal person.
Yeah, so. Do you know what I love the most? And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will have a great little giggle about this. It's not for the books is not for the faint-hearted if you like a little bit of swearing.
Yeah.
And we're here for that. That makes me want to read it more.
Yeah, if there's swear words, I'm there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all
That's
in.
That's like real people talk.
We're not.
But, you know, enough of you talking. Belle Lockerbie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh,
awesome. Now, remind me, we're in Queensland. I know you guys said you're in central Queensland. Whereabouts are you guys?
So we're located in Claremont. So we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where Claremont is. I lived in Emerald for a short time.
Oh,
yes.
So we were once neighbours, Belle, and then exactly. You moved away once. From us.
Exactly.
And, I did.
It's all your fault, mate.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Good on you. But, Belle, let's kick into it. Let's kick into the podcast, and I want to know all about the whys of the book and all the rest of it. But tell us about your journey and how you became Belle Lockerbie, the author.
So Belle Lockerbie, the author, kind of came about in terms of, like for a long time, you know how sometimes you grow up and you have a teacher or a parent and they say, oh, no, you're like writers don't make any money or you shouldn't do that. Like why be like a flight attendant when you So for a long time I had this message around authors could not make any money, but I always wanted to write a book, right? So quite a few years ago now, I decided that I wanted to write my story and to really help some women feel a little bit less alone and give a voice, especially if they'd been through things like mental health or losing a parent to depression or overcoming childhood trauma and those kinds of things. So I wanted to set about seeing if I could actually write a book. So I gave myself permission to begin with to write a really shitty first draft because that's what it was. And my editor, the first round in terms of becoming an author, my editor gave me like 26 pages of feedback, which is that's a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
So then I had to sit there and go, okay, now I'm going to do this again. And I sat down and basically rewrote the book. And then I got like 2 pages of feedback. And I'm like, Kelsey, where's the rest of it? And just go, no, this time you've done a really good job. I've gone, oh, okay. So that's kind of how that part came about. But I really had to challenge those words around just because one parent said something or just because I thought someone was the right person to advise that they weren't necessarily right. And that's really what that first book became about, was like redefining that word brave and kind of going, well, I know how to be brave in business and everything. And I had stood in front of a group of women that I was mentoring at the time, and Brené Brown's their butts a little bit and kind of said, there is great strength in choosing vulnerability. And at this point in time, I was a single mum. I'd been a single mum for about 3 years. I was raising 2 kids by myself, running the business. And internally, I just thought, you are so full of shit. Like, you are not being brave in your own life. you are a big chicken and you need to put yourself out there a little bit more. So summer in Australia, I think it was like start of 2018, I found myself like wrapped up in my doona, ugly crying around whether I had actually become. I think sometimes women get this message that we have to be strong and everything, and I didn't know how to be vulnerable anymore. Because I'd almost shut that part of me down through, you know, going through things like watching my mother battle depression from like 12 to 19, when eventually she lost that battle. Seeing my father die from cancer, seeing my older sister pass away from cancer as well. And I think that I'd just become so strong that I was like, well, how am I ever going to be soft again? So I set about in like setting these little challenges to have this year of brave and to put myself out there and have some really hard conversations with people. And I started with the easiest ones first, and I would recommend that for anyone to start to, you know, either challenge that inner critic that says you can't do something because of insert reason. So I went and learned to surf. After 40, which was great fun. But every time you'd go down to the beach, you'd hear like this little inner voice going, why are you doing this? Like, you're overweight. You shouldn't be doing this. Your kids are going to be so embarrassed. Everyone's going to think you're an idiot. And the more I'd hear that little voice pop up as I'm like dragging my giant yellow foam surfboard, like everything about this board screams beginner, right? Dragging it down. And I'm just like speaking back to like my little inner bitch called Barb saying, thank you so much for reminding me. I'm going to do it anyway. And eventually that voice just goes away, right? So I'm still a very average surfer, but I did it and I learned and it was really good. And then I move on to the next thing, which was wonderful. So from there, I started paying attention to what happens when we start to really redefine those words that may have been holding us back. So whether it's success or love or acceptance or even seeing my kids say sorry in like our house and then they just go and do the same thing anyway, it got me to really thinking about, well, what would happen if we looked at the purpose of the word and what would happen if we actually started to redefine them and work out what it looks like for this next part of our lives? What would that do for us? And how can it change our lives and how can it change the lives of the people that we care about if we're a little bit more intentional with our language and understanding what words mean to each other? So that's how that all kind of started to come about. That's like the nutshell part of it anyway.
Oh my God.
I love this. Oh, I love this. God. And has Barb gone on a bit of a break now in a bitch, Barb?
So this is the great thing about Barb, right? Anytime there is something new, I kind of call her like my little growth indicator. So anytime I'm going to try something new, so whether it's like writing that next book or learning something completely different that's out of my comfort zone, like I want to learn how to play guitar, she'll crop up again and say, oh, you can't do this. Like, who are you kidding? Come on. And I'm like, oh, thanks for the reminder. So like once you learn how to identify her and how to manage her, I also call her like the inner caterpillar. And that's like, because it's a bit nicer sometimes and it's just like, thanks for reminding me, I hear you, I'm going to do it anyway. Then she gets bored and she goes like she shuts up until that next big thing.
And I suppose it's you thanking her too, you know, at the same time it's going, oh, thanks, like I see I'm about to grow. Thanks, Barb. Thanks
yeah,
for your concern.
Yeah, thanks. Catch ya. Thanks for the heads up. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but
gotta go
later.
Embarrass myself anyway. It's yeah. All good, so.
I have to take you back. You said when you went to write your book, you gave yourself permission and you gave yourself permission to do a shit job. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I think that's such a big thing for women is, and it seems so simple too at the same time, but the way you just said it was like, you know what? I gave myself permission and I gave myself the permission for it not to be great and it not to be amazing and all the rest of it. But I still friggin' did it because I gave myself the permission and because I allowed myself and I gave myself that permission to be shit, to be whatever, it made me actually do it. Because I think that procrastination and that perfection, you know, that life that we try to live in, which is just so full of shit, I might add, but we don't give ourselves permission to try things and fail at them and then go, cool, I'll only get better, but cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you probably find that there's other areas in your life where you've already figured out how to do that. So even like with my kids, I'll give myself permission to make healthy meals most nights and guaranteed they're not going to like them. But on the odd occasion, I like strike a winner, and it's just like, yes, like win for dinner, or win for the mum. But that permission part and being okay with failing is really, it really is important, because otherwise you're never going to know. Like, you're not going to have the opportunity to find out whether you can actually do it or not. So it's just that being so brave, true, and kind of going, well, you know what? I'm going to give it a crack anyway. Doesn't matter what happens with it, but I just want to see how it's going to play out. Yes. And it was like really, really hard that first time, getting 26 pages of feedback and going, oh man, I suck. Should I even be doing this? And then to pick yourself up again and go, you know what? I'm going to take this as an opportunity to put all of the feedback into place and then go again. So that's the big thing. It's like dusting yourself off and having another crack, I think, is really important.
And you also mentioned about who are you taking advice from, you know what I mean? And I think that is a really big one that I'd love to unpack with you a little bit, because it's so true. You know, I'm myself being a parent now, there are definitely days where I'm like, who gave me this responsibility? Like, I'm running a shit show. Like, who gave me that responsibility? So I do have to step back and go, well, everyone has to think like that at some point or another. And whether that be my parent figures, my teacher figures, whatever that was, they are still also not perfect, and they are also not that. So you also kind of got to step back into your own and go, okay, cool, that's great for your opinion, or that didn't work for you, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to work for me. And it doesn't mean that I have to skip my opportunities because it didn't work for you. Yes, we learn from other people, like, different things, yes, of course, but also taking that step back and really looking at your belief patterns and going, cool, where did I get that advice from? Like, and does that sit true with me right now?
Yeah, that, and I think that's the big thing, is the right now part. It's like, is it true for right now? Because it may have actually been the right thing at that point in time, and sometimes we'll make decisions because we're doing it with the knowledge that we have and what we know, and it's either for self-protection or self-preservation. So it's not that it was ever wrong. There's always a learning in something, even through like the really shitty stuff that happens in life. But just because it worked then doesn't mean you need to keep holding on to it. Like, it's okay to let it go and to write like a new definition and kind of go, you know what, now say success, for example, or success in a family, now it needs to look like this. Because for a long time, so I was I'm from the divorce generation. My parents hated, like, absolutely hated each other. They couldn't even be in the same room together. And I knew that I never wanted that for my kids. But for me, a successful relationship meant longevity. It didn't necessarily mean happiness, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of start thinking about, what's a successful relationship look like? And fortunately, my biological kids, their dad and I co-parent very, very well together. We have awkward family Christmases each year. So my husband now and their father have the same name. So it's like super awkward. But it also makes for like good jokes and banter. And that's because I want the kids to know that co-parenting can be okay. So then it's around, divorce doesn't necessarily have to mean a ton of trauma and feeling like the kids get dumped on or manipulated, because that sucks. So it's to kind of go, okay, what do I want it to look like? How am I going to take this word and let it play out in my life? And what am I going to teach my kids about it? Or what am I going to teach my community about it? And start to really like walk my talk. That's, I think that was a really big thing as I started to unpack those.
A massive lesson to teach your kids, though, that co-parenting can be absolutely positive.
Yeah, in a really big way.
Yeah.
So, super important, I think, for kids. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it comes back to that using your words correctly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's just,
and even, but I think even like giving, so with me and my kids, giving them permission to work out what that looks like for them. So like I want my daughter to know how to speak up. I don't want her to think that she has to fit into that mold of kids should be seen and not heard, or anything like that. That's from, you know, generations ago. I want her to ask her teachers like hard questions. Her teachers don't always like it, but I don't want her to like go into the workforce not knowing that she should have a voice.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That is brilliant. Wow. Yeah.
And tell me about your year of brave. We I see you were looking at it.
Yeah, we
I'm
both.
I'm like curious as hell about this year of brave. Yes,
exactly. As soon as you said it, we both went, ooh, and looked down like to write it down. That is so cool. Your year of brave.
Oh. So I basically after that big ugly crying moment of working what things would look like, I decided to have this year of brave, and the whole of 2018 was dedicated to that. And I like, so I gathered a couple of brave besties along the way. So you don't have to do it alone. I think that's, you know, a really good lesson or insight for women is like find your friends who are willing to go and do some stuff with you, and like, it's not necessarily one friend for all things. It can be different friends for different things. So in like that first book, my friend Lauren, I invited her to go and hike the Grand Canyon with me because it was on my bucket list, and I didn't want just like the fact that I was a single mum to kind of stop me from being able to, you know, live out that adventurous part of my life. So it's like, okay, I like, do you want to come and do this, and we can go to like this business mastermind or whatever in Vegas and meet these other women that I was friends with online. And I'm like, and I'm going to go hike the Grand Canyon if you want to come. And she's like, yep, okay. So if I come along on this stuff, will you do some things with me too? And I'm like, yes, no problem at all. Let me know what you want to do. So she wanted to try stuff like pole dancing, which is not my not my thing at all. I felt like I was trying to flip like a human burger on a pole. It was just like completely out there, but she loved it. And she came and learnt to surf with me, but she hated surfing. So that was the thing, is we kind of go, okay, I'll do one of yours and you do one of mine. And it was a great way to do that. So they were kind of like the easy things to start with being brave, because that adventure side comes naturally. The harder stuff then became having some really big conversations about childhood trauma and making peace with the fact that someone may not even want to have a conversation about it. So kind of going, okay, what am I going to do if they say they don't even want to discuss this with me? Will I be okay with that before I even have the conversation? And what am I going to do with if they say yes and they do have the conversation? So I'd started building these things up. And they did say yes to the conversation, and it was something that I didn't want to die without asking, or I didn't want this person to pass away without me asking questions. So then it's around, you know, how do you have those really hard conversations with people, and how do you start to kind of work through your own self no matter what the outcome is? So that became like one of the next steps in like working out this year of brave, is like, okay, so what's that going to look like, and how is that going to be? And then as I rolled through, because I was single at that point, and part of it was to be brave enough to put myself back out in Dateland, which the last time I had been out in Dateland, like Facebook didn't exist, right? So it was a very long time ago. There was no Tinder. The only filters that were used were like beer goggles at the pub. That was it. There wasn't anything. So then eventually, as like my year rolled through, getting back out into Dateland was one of the things that I'd chosen to do. And I tell you what, man, that is awkward. I don't know what it is with guys posting pictures of fish, like whether it's like some hunter-gatherer thing or something. I don't know. But that was a whole experience in itself. But then you start to learn, as you're brave and you put yourself out there, that people's definitions of words look differently, right? So you'd have one guy would kind of say, oh yeah, like I'm into health, but health for him meant like having a bottle of red at lunchtime every day, and that's not my thing. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, no. not going to work. So it was a really good insight, I think, in terms of learning about the differences in humans. And then as I kept rolling through that year, one of the big things was to teach my kids as well how to be brave in their own right. So that flicks between, I guess, like reflecting on your past and learning from it, and then kind of going, okay, so what do I want my future to look like? How am I going to be brave? And then, like, as I teach other women to do that, because they would ask me lots of questions after the book came out around, like, how did you get to forgiveness? Or how did you actually decide to go and do these things and put yourself out there? I kind of mapped it out to work out that really it's starting with those easy things first and building your confidence up so that you create like a little bit of a roadmap on what are 12 things that you might want to do. And you start with the easy ones first. You work out who your friends are that you need to take with you. And then you start moving forward and you just do one step at a time. And if it doesn't quite work out, then you pick yourself up and you go again. You learn the things that you love and the things that you don't, which is okay too. And you just keep going. So I really love it's good.
That. Yeah. What a way to challenge yourself. And I do like the idea that you start out with the smaller things, because imagine if you went in hard and decided that you're going to have those hard childhood, you know, trauma questions, have those conversations, because that scares the shit out of me.
Well, it's like getting up and making your bed every morning. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing I do as soon as I get up, because it already makes me feel like I've achieved something and I have some sort of tidiness and togetherness in my house. Yeah, it props you up. You know, the first thing you do, you're like, sweet, I've achieved something straight up off the back. It's going to make me feel better for the rest of the day that my room is, you know, made and tidy. And it also gives me some sort of place of sanity, because the rest of my house is a shit show with three small people.
Yeah. Oh, and I know those feels.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it is very similar to that you start with those little things every day to build yourself up. And, you know, some days they're going to feel like big leaps, and other days they might feel like a tiny little step, but it's all a step, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's to be really kind to yourself as you go through this process and start to learn what your own internal conversations are, so that like you can catch them, challenge them, and then choose what to do with them. So when you catch that self-talk, to kind of go like, what do I want to do with this? Like, is it actually helping me move forward, or is it holding me back?
I like that. Challenge it.
Catch them, challenge them,
and choose what to do with them.
Choose what to do
you
with
need
it.
To get t-shirts with that on them, because that's wicked. Maybe you should write thoughts at the top, just in case it becomes some sort of weird shirt.
Actually, it could be very handsy. Hey,
it could be very handsy. You might be invited. Catch them, challenge
them, choose
what
to do with them. Wow, we just turned over a whole new.
That
book.
Is a brand new pickup line for people on Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Wow, I do really, really love that. How do you go about teaching your kids this?
Oh,
with great difficulty.
You can ask my kids, and I hear, because like my background is like in marketing and change management, right? So it's all about working out what's behind the problem and then looking at like your options to go forward. So my kids get empowered about owning their choices, right? And that, and sometimes you hear conversation, like I hear myself reflected back in my kids, because I'll hear one of them say to the other, "You're not being accountable for your actions. That's deflecting," right? Because they're trying to blame someone else, or they're trying to like shift things and kind of go, "Oh, look, there's something worse way over there that like mum should tell you off for instead of me." So they start deflecting things, right? So, but they'll call each other out on this in terms of, "You're deflecting." And then they're like, "Oh, yeah." Yep. And I just kind of go, yep, they are my children.
The arguments in your house are the same as everyone else's house, except they just use their words better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes they don't. So really, like my kids range from like turning 14 on Monday through to like my little bonus boy who'll turn 7 next month. So there's like a 7-year age span.
Yeah.
And but they all know about words, right? In terms of like like choosing words and how they impact people. And that's probably where we come down to the conversation, is like really talking to them about, you know, when you said that, like how did you actually want that person, how do you think that person felt? Like, especially if it was something that's not nice. And what could you say differently? Like, I understand that you're upset. So it's never to say that their feelings are not valid or anything like that. We all get angry, we all get sad, and we all have like moments of happiness. But it's to help them kind of understand that they could choose some words that might be a little bit kinder and still be true when they're saying things, and getting them to work out how to manage their emotions as opposed to their emotions managing them, the big one. So
that's
like
huge.
My son is super sensitive, which is wonderful in terms of he sees how other people are feeling. But like, he'll also be like, you know, a storm and Norman and just like fly off to his room because something has upset him. So it's just kind of teaching him how to, that he needs space to go away and reflect. That's how he works. Whereas my daughter will get over things much faster.
Mm.
So they're all different.
They sure are. I'd love to talk about, yeah, and they definitely, I have twins, a boy and a girl twins, and they honestly, for kids that were born at the exact same time, I tell you, they couldn't be any more different, that's for sure. I want to talk about your two books and Awkward is the New Brave.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is the one that is out.
That is out?
Yes. Yes. Tell us about that and where that came from.
Okay, so I am a fairly awkward person, to like, to be fair. So I'm like the person who face plants or just like completely gets things wrong on occasion. So for me, it was around like really redefining that word bravery and understanding that sometimes when you are being brave, it feels awkward, like no one actually calls it out. So there's this whole thing about, you know, being vulnerable and being brave, but the truth is, it feels super awkward when you're putting yourself out there or when you're learning something new, because you've got to train your brain again to go, okay, I've never done this before. I'm going to feel like a little bit of a dork, but that's okay. And not everyone has that, but I know I certainly do, in terms of going, all right, I'm about to do something new. I'm about to go and learn how to surf. And my I hired someone to help me learn because I needed that. And Dougie would actually yell out from the shoreline, "Oi, girly, get back in, like you're flopping around on the board like a wet fish." And I would just be in like fits of laughter, as much as it was true, but also kind of going, well, like that's okay, because for me, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm just worried about having fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So it was all about kind of going, you know, brave is not all it's crap. It's different on different people. So whether it's around being brave with yourself and your own personal development, or going out and trying something new, so whether it's, you know, surfing, rock climbing, whatever, that adventure side of things, or having those big conversations, or even, you know, putting yourself out there in a space that you haven't been for a long time, whether it's date land, workforce, starting businesses, whatever it is. So you're going to feel awkward at some point, yeah. I think, when you're going through change.
I love that. That's so true, because we often think that brave is like this powerful, like, yeah, go me kind of moment.
And that you're going to have all of those, like, you can do it sort of thoughts.
Yeah, you'd be flying your own flag and just rocking the world, but you're not. It is awkward as hell. You're right.
Yeah. And not all the time. Like, the awkwardness subsides, but to begin with sometimes it just feels like, why on earth did I decide to do this?
Yes,
like, what was I thinking? And it actually did. So this is the only thing, because I'm like big into words and how they play out. I need to write a book that's called like Joy is the New Rich and see how that plays out or whatever, because after this book, lots of people would start asking like, oh, so you're going to go jump out of a plane, or why are you not brave enough to do it? Because brave is also being able to say no, right? So
it's not just
about the yeses. It's just as much about the no. It's like, no, that's not me. That's not what I'm doing. So no, I'm not doing any more pole dancing classes. That's not me. I'm not doing that. That's not my thing. So it's really important to kind of allow that to, I think, evolve as you do, that, you know, brave is going to look different at different points in time.
Yes. Mm. and saying no, like, that's hella brave to say no.
Yeah, it's harder to say no than it is to say yes, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. God. And sometimes it can just be knowing that you don't have to say yes, like, right now. So pressing pause, especially if you've got, like, that friend or that family member who wants an answer right this instant, and just, like, giving yourself a little bit of grace to say, I need some time to think about that and then I'll come back to you. Like, that's fine. Just do that. You don't have to give an answer straight away if you need thinking space.
Yes. Love that.
Oh,
I love that. And now your new book that is coming out. So it's on pre-order at the moment.
It comes out on the 22nd of November.
Yes. Tell us about this one.
It does. Okay, so this book is a personal development book, so it's got actionable stuff in it. It's called The Words the Caterpillar Ate, and it is very much understanding, like, who fed you words, right, as you kind of grew up, what maybe that generational word diet looked like even for them. So what kind of, like, it might be a money story or something else that's carried forward through generations. What do you want to let go of so that you don't have to hold on to those definitions anymore? And then what's your new dictionary of self going to look like? So how would you actually write your new definitions? That's kind of it in a nutshell. So, and I love a bit of a metaphor and analogy. So it's got, like, these really nice ties between, like, that whole journey of a caterpillar through to a butterfly, mm-hmm. and understanding, you know, how your own interpretations of words interact with other people, and recognizing when, like, that internal caterpillar pops up, what you actually are going to do with it so that you can start to revisit your words. And it's a big permission book, right? So permission to revisit your own personal dictionary and rewrite it anytime that you need to. So so that comes out on the 22nd of November. And that was really spurred by a couple of things. One, I did a TED talk, which is called Is Your Dictionary Dead? Which is all about what would happen to the world, or what would happen to even, like, our kids, for example, if they were taught about the purpose of words, not just how to spell them and whether they're a verb or an adjective or a noun, but what would happen if we taught them about what they actually, like, what they mean. So what it actually means to say sorry, not just the definition of it. So if you ask any of the kids in my house, they'll say that sorry means that you're signaling that you're going to change your actions or behaviors for the better. That's what it means, right? It doesn't just mean that it's an apology.
Mike, I'd be dropping that right now. Oh my God.
Do you know what? So my son's in year two, so we're learning about all these nouns and verbs and adjectives, like all the shit you don't remember. Sorry, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're learning all this stuff now and I'm like, what? Like,
is that a doing word?
Yeah. That's they've got this wicked rap. It's like, a word is a verb. It's an action word. If you can do it, you can do it.
Hey, Fiona, do you feel awkward or anything like that?
You are so welcome there,
Belle. That was good.
I could remember it. But this is the shit we're learning. It's not shit. Sorry, teachers. But, like, they're not learning what it actually means, like what it actually means and how that feels.
Oh my God.
That's right. So in Australia, suicide is the number one cause of death in our young people, mm-hmm. right? So I kind of think, what would happen if these kids were taught what to do with these words and they were taught that they had a choice? Because they really make an impact when they kind of, like, take hold in your heart and they're planted and you start to believe the things that people say about you. So what if they were taught what to do with that? So if they got the opportunity to learn around how you can catch them and challenge them and choose what to do with them earlier, and that, yes, teachers are here to teach you things, but people aren't always right. Like, your mum and dad are probably doing the best with what they've got, but they're not always right.
Yes.
Like, if you're growing up hearing that you're naughty or you're this or you're that, eventually, like, as our little kids are growing up, they're going to start to believe those things. So if you can kind of teach them what to do with those words and how to deal with bullies or how to think about impact, I just kind of think maybe, just maybe, that one little change could actually stop a teenager one day from, you know, making an irreversible decision that leaves a lot of people behind.
Wow. You need to have this in the schools, Belle. You need to get in there and do it.
That's the plan.
Put it on your list.
The plan.
Oh yeah, God. That's good because yeah. that would, like, you would literally change the world.
Well, here's hoping that would be great because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's adults are the ones that can kind of leave that wisdom behind for the kids, right, in terms of how to deal with these things. And we don't all get the same opportunity. So I would love to see that happen.
Yeah.
Why are we not being taught the meanings of words? You're so right.
Yeah. And it's not what it says in the dictionary, right?
No,
like
no.
That's the definition. And often I see people talk about the definition of such and such says this. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But what about the purpose of it? So that's where I know a friend of mine has challenged me. She's like, I would love it if you wrote a purpose dictionary because she's on the autism spectrum because I would understand the impact of some things that I say, right? And she's going, I would love that book. And I'm like, okay, I'll just put that one in the pipelines and write like a purpose dictionary next.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's important, I think, to understand it. Same as like if you look up the definition of a tree, just like plain old tree, it's like a tall woody perennial that has like branches that come off from a single stem. But like if they changed it and put the purpose of a tree was to provide oxygen and life to the planet, then maybe we wouldn't chop so many of them down and maybe the planet would still be looking all right in 100 years.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what would happen if we just tweak things a little bit to kind of say, actually, this is the purpose of a tree. It's not just the definition of it, but this is what trees are meant to do. Then maybe humanity might make some better decisions. Maybe. Just putting it out there.
Oh, hell yeah, it would. Wow.
That has my mind just spinning.
And I'm like, do we start with the kids or do you need to start with the adults?
Sorry, Courtney.
My God. Yeah, it's like, where do we start? Well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
We need to start with the adults.
Yes. We need the
moms. Just to start with the adults. And even if it's just to like choose that one word that would make a difference to your family or yourself or your friends or something, have a conversation about that one word. Right? That like what does it mean to you? So whether it's sorry or success or acceptance, I know is a big one, and like wanting to feel like you fit in. So what does it mean to you? So it's a big thing.
Oh, holy
dooly. I would love to honestly look at you turning your book around trying to fit it all in.
Just you two will talk while I write this down.
But imagine like how beautiful it would be. So Fiona and I, we do this thing with our kids every night that's like, what's your best part of the day? When we're sitting,
we do that too.
Yeah, when you're sitting around the dinner table, and you know, we all go through that. And but how beautiful would it be to have words that you sort of go, okay, what does this mean to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what does happy look like to
what
you?
What does it feel like?
Yeah, exactly. Like how do you embody happiness? Like what does that feel, see, touch? You know, all of those things. Holy shit, a brick!
Yeah,
I imagine that would be.
Wow, Belle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is part of this next book, right? So one of my like running words through my life has been adventure. So like as a little kid, it was climbing up trees and working out whether the lake across the road had quicksand in it or not, because that's what my parents had said. But I'd still like run over there anyway and stick my foot in and kind of go, oh, it's sinking. Well, because the sand's wet, and think it was quicksand and run away. But then that would translate into, you know, like going and seeing glaciers in New Zealand, or like going and mustering cows like out near the Balliando crossing, near you guys, doing all that kind of stuff. But as I'm getting older, my body is going, dude, you cannot launch yourself off like 30 meter high water slides into a dam anymore. Like it's just, your butt's just not going to survive like for the next 10 years. You're going to be walking around with one of those donuts constantly, right, to sit on. So it's around giving yourself permission to go, okay, this is one of my words. This is what it looks like and feels like. And that's how it's been in the past. And now this is what I want it to look like and feel like in future so that I can still be me really at the end of the day, so that you don't lose, you know, the core of who you are.
Yes. And I think that's so important to to find those words and I guess nearly like lock them in because our lives change, you know, yeah. like we go through this point where it's like we're worker us and we're single or we're, you know, it's just my husband and I and we can do whatever we want. And then you have kids and you got to really like change your life there, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you
got to like work out who you are and what kind of mum you are and all these things. And I feel like, you know, in my age group and in my sort of group, I guess, it's just, you know, a lot of the time people are like, well, I actually don't know who I am anymore because I'm like, I'm trying to be this person, I'm trying to be that person, I'm trying to be all the people, and none of them feels like the right fit because I've lost my word, I guess.
You've lost, Yeah. I relate to that. Like, especially, I think especially when you do have kids and become a mum, because it's either these words that you've, like, been fed by society and stuff around what, like, a good mum looks like or what kind of mum you should be, starts to play in and you can lose part of like part of yourself, which is really challenging. So like before my kids, I was like this kick-ass corporate person who'd go and do triathlons and everything, and then I couldn't live that life anymore. Like it just wasn't possible with a little baby. It just didn't work that way. So I had to make some adjustments, and eventually I figured out a way to quit my corporate job and do things my way instead. And then kind of go, okay, kids, this weekend we're going to go and climb like the Gloucester tree, which is like this massive fire tree in the southwest of WA. And then like question your parenting decisions when you're halfway up a tree with like a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old and go, oh. But they survived. They're all fine.
Live to tell the tale.
Yeah. Oh.
That is so, that so is
it
so
is.
Cool.
So it's just to, like it's to find a way.
Yeah.
To still be you. Yeah.
Definitely. Man, awesome. You have given us so many beautiful quotes and things to have our mind, to have her writing everything down. So do you have any words of wisdom or anything you want to share with our listeners? I just want to make sure that you have said everything that could possibly be there to help them.
Yes. Probably the big one is to yourself to rewrite your own dictionary.
Mm.
Like give yourself permission to write your own language of you, really. That's the biggest one. Like find your words and then give yourself that permission to edit them as you need to.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that is really good.
That's so good. Do we also give everyone permission to name their inner bitch? Like you Barb. Can have Barb or you can have whatever name you want.
Yeah, you can have any name you want, I think. So absolutely, you can have any name that you want, or you can just call them the inner caterpillar if you want to be a little bit more like gentler with it and kind of recognize that, you know what, you've come from a place that was like created to protect me at some point in time, but you don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We need to know where to find you on the socials and also where to find your books.
Okay. So on socials, you can find me over Instagram at Belle Lockerbie. My Facebook business page does not work anymore since they went all Meta, so don't bother trying to find me there. So Insta is probably the best one. And then the books you can find on Amazon, and you will be able to find them both on like all of the book apps, or even walk into a bookstore in Australia and ask them for it. They will order it in for you if you prefer to do that. So that's the best place to find them. The paperback for the new book will be on pre-order on the 8th of October. And I'm pretty sure inside Awkward is New Brave, there's a little gift at the end around how to have a year of brave if you're looking for that.
I love that. So, nice. I'm feeling a year of brave coming on.
Yeah,
here.
I'm feeling a bit of a year of brave
I'm
coming
feeling
on.
It.
Yeah, definitely.
I love a year of brave.
Belle, so good. Honestly, thank you so much. You have just been so beautiful in the way you speak.
You've blown our minds.
You have. You honestly blown our minds, that's for sure. We have a few catchphrases here that we can't wait to use in our own households, that's for sure.
We do. Thank you so much.
And choose what to do with them. I think that one's a great one. Thank you so much, Belle.
You're welcome.